to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardone. This week, I was thinking of so many different things I wanted to share with my listeners and my viewers. My campaign for the homeless has really been moving along beautifully, and I love these people in my community that I've been campaigning for, and I've been fighting for, and standing up to the people. I actually went down to the government buildings this week, including today, and said, "You guys really need to take a look at the people in your community." Okay, but then I also kind of wanted to talk about sex and the beauty of synergy and sexuality, what makes us human. Yeah, I got a lot to say about that too. And then I thought, okay, you know what? There's something else actually that's kind of been personally very important to me lately, because I have moved away from my children. And I'm trying really hard this whole show not to get too worked up. But what really just absolutely infuriated me recently was when I was sitting at a stop, a bus stop with my signs for the GoFundMe campaign for the homeless shelter victims. We were talking about something, not necessarily the campaign, but it came down to relationships and building that trust with people. And then we started talking about our kids. And I literally start glowing when I talk about my babies, because they're the coolest people I've ever met. They have taught me the most valuable, important lessons in my life. And yeah, I admire them a lot. And I have just an absolute well of stories that never ceases to come up when I start talking and telling stories, recounting experiences. Yeah, I get really excited. So what bothered me was this man. He said, "You know what the problem is? Too many parents try to be friends with their children." And I went, "Okay, you know what? Look, I can debate, I can disagree, hell, I can argue, and I can even let someone else win, even when I know I'm right. As an INTP, I can do that." Yeah, no, I absolutely disagreed with him, and I said, "First of all, my children, now as adults, but even as young children, they were some of my best friends. And I felt like, yeah, they liked me too." "Well, you're not supposed to like your kids. Your kids aren't supposed to like you." I said, "What the hell is wrong with you? You can absolutely, wait a minute. Maybe he just doesn't understand what friendship is." I thought, what exactly is it about friendship that is diametrically opposed to all and anything paternal, maternal?" Okay, let's just start, first of all, with my children. Yes, they are the best people I've ever known. And I'm going to tell you some stories today that I think by the end of the show, you're going to be crying, because you'll laugh so hard, but also because the beauty and the sincerity and the synergy that we created, my children and I created when we were together, and what they created with each other when I was nowhere around, was like, wow. I think that people don't know how to be friends anymore. And that's really what it comes down to. I've always said the art of relationships, any relationships, they could be friend, they could be romantic, they could be professional, they could be familial, it could be, there are three things. It's an art. A-R-T. Appreciation and respect and trust. Yeah, you know what? Most of the time, when people do things with their friends that they would never do with their kids, well, maybe that's because it's something inappropriate. Okay, let's just go ahead and take a little step back, a little honest look in the mirror and inventory. What is it that is appropriate for you to do or be with a friend, right? That would not be appropriate for you to do or be with to, for, and around your child. Okay, keep that in mind. Just go ahead and masticate that in your mind for a few minutes. I actually was talking to someone the other day. I said, "You know what? We got a Mother's Day, we got a Father's Day, we need a kid's day, right? Just a children's day where we can celebrate how amazing children are." Well, we have a whole lot of holidays throughout okay, but you know what? We need to just actually appreciate children. One of the things that I loved the most about the show Roseanne was she was fighting with the principal because her daughter, apparently flipped the bird in the school picture. But in the end, we found out it wasn't really her. She was just claiming to the. One of the things she said to the principal was, "You know what? In the end, kids are going to do what they're going to do. They're like people that way." Yeah, kids are people. So let's go ahead and just take a look at them from that angle. CARD, card. That's what I think of as the acronym for my children. What do children deserve? What do they need? Really, what do they need as people? Just the way we all need as people, aside from the appreciation and respect and trust. Well, there's the C and the D that's around the AR. The C is a consideration. Yeah, they actually deserve the consideration that is take a time, a moment to about them as people. Just think of them as normal people. Okay, so I profiled my children when they were young because I didn't know what to do as a mother. I didn't know what to do with them. And it was like, okay, they're different people. What? So consideration and that appreciation and that respect. But you know what? The trust, I think, even more than trust with children, the last one, the D, is dignity. Yeah, you need to actually give them the dignity that is you deserve to be treated well. It's I really do not only appreciate you, but I value, right, your worth. Okay. That means it doesn't even necessarily matter if I like you per se, because you know what? We don't always like our kids. They're not always the right personality for our personality. But dignity as people, you know what? I don't care if they're not an adult. They still deserve that same consideration. Now, let me think about some of the things that I resented very much. And I have to look at my computer here because I know I'm on a clock. And if I don't pace myself and keep checking back, I'll talk for 3 hours. Okay, so just bear with me when I look away here. I'll tell you what I think I resent most about my childhood was I grew up as Generation X. My mother was a baby boomer, and what I heard a lot, I think maybe it was just in the media, like on the news or in public settings, there was a an ideal American family was a mother, a father, 2.5 children, a house, and I'm like, what, 2.5 children? Yes. Basically, that was a sort of a tongue-in-cheek way of saying, you know, the perfect family is a statistic. And if you're going to be successful, you have to have things in statistically a certain proportion, in a certain form, in a certain location, with a certain appearance, with a certain modus operandi. What? Okay. So I'm thinking, okay, great. So if I have two kids, that's not going to be enough. If I have three kids, that's going to be too much because maybe relative to the incomes that I'm going to have, the expenditure, if I have a house, is that going to be enough space for the kids? So I'm like, okay. Okay, if I'm going to be a good mother, I have to have this and this and this and this on my checklist. Okay, that's BS. And now in this country, animals are children. We have substituted, we have replaced genuine human connection with animals because we don't know how to relate to each other as people anymore. We genuinely don't know how to be together. We have our technology, but then you know what? Animals don't talk back. Kids do. Yeah, they do. And it's okay. You know, another thing, just feminism, garbage. One of the things that I cannot believe I heard so much that was so not true. Kids make you fat. Yeah, pregnancy, it's going to make you fat and you're going to feel ugly. And your boobs are going to sag because they get so fat. When you, especially if you breastfeed, man, if you breastfeed, that's it. Your tits are shot. What? That's not true. Look, I gained 35, almost 40 pounds with my first pregnancy. Honey, breastfeeding took all that off. The reason why women get fat is because they get their breast milk from a container. And so their body never gets that chance to rebalance and reset itself. Yeah, and you know what? By the way, breastfeeding is really cool because you get to look at your baby and they look at you and it's like, wow, you get a really warm and fuzzy feeling. Okay, so no one ever mentioned that to me. And you know what? When we're thinking too about what kids will actually do to you, Well, most of that stuff is just temporary because your body is constantly changing and regrowing and renewing. Yeah, just staying centered means that you're cooperating with everything nature is going to do, with or without you. Well, then work with nature. Just do yourself a favor and work with nature. Another thing that I actually really I loved to hate it was the Book of Proverbs, chapter 31. It gives a description of a capable wife. It says a capable wife. There are 17 verses of all the things she is going to do and do and do and do and do and do. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a 25-hour a day to-do list. How in the world am I going to be able to do all that stuff in one day, every day? Well, that's it. My life is over. Not only am I going to be fat and ugly, but I'm never going to actually be able to relax ever again. That's not true. And then, you know what? Actually, just before I go on, it reminds me that my husband came from a family of 15 children. He was number 8 out of 15. Okay, that's like right in the middle. So the 7 above him, yeah, by the time he showed up on the scene, they were kind of doing their own thing. Well, his next brother below, beneath him, next after him, 11 months or maybe 10 and a half months. Wow. So the next with the babies and babies and babies and babies. Well, obviously the mom couldn't do all that. So my husband had to learn. I love that my husband taught me how to cook and clean and change diapers and bathe the children. Yeah, because he had firsthand experience. So honestly, if I hadn't had my husband, I probably would have had CPS take my children away from me because I literally had no idea what to do. Okay, so you know what? One of the things that I love was the music from the 70s and 80s. There was a song, The Cat's in the Cradle. And when the kid basically was saying, "When are you going to come home, Dad?" And the dad was like, "I don't know. Well, I'll be home." And the kid was like, "Yeah, you know what? It's okay. Whenever you get home, I'll see you. I'll be with you, for you, here with you when you get here." Well, you know what? That never happened. The dad didn't come home. And when the kid was an adult and the dad was like, "Hey, I haven't seen you. What's going on?" He's like, "You know what? It's really nice to hear your voice, Dad, but I'm really busy. I got stuff to do." He wasn't vengeful. He wasn't vindictive. It wasn't a matter of, "Well, you were never here for me, so I'm not going to be here for you." But you know what? Movies and television, especially in the 70s and 80s, made children look like brats. And it made them look vengeful and manipulative. And my mom even told me when I was growing up that I was a manipulative little bitch. No, I wasn't. I was just very hurt and very angry at the things that she did. And I knew in my life, I was the only one on my side. I was the only thing that I had. So to make it through life, you do what you gotta do. Yeah, that was a lot of wrong information that I got just from pretty much everywhere around me. And I think the fact that the radio and television and movies were so omnipresent, that had a lot to do with it too. Media became the substitute for genuine relationships. And I think that has a lot to do with it too. So let me tell you just the secret. Honestly, you put yourself as a woman first in the way of genuine care. You take care of yourself first. Then you take care of your husband because as one flesh, you come together and then you are unified. Then when you take care of your kids, believe it or not, kids really aren't that high maintenance. Yes, when they need something, they really, really, really need it. And you absolutely have to give it to them. That's not very much. Most of the time when women are, they don't need to be. They're paranoid and they have a hard time letting go and they get overly flipped out about things. They don't need to do that. That's their own issue. If they were centered and calm and relaxed and fulfilled and content, they would be able to say to their kids, "Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of working through it here. Just be patient with me." Children are some of the most patient people on the planet. I didn't know that. Yeah, and they're very forgiving too if you just own up to your mistakes. Well, yeah, no, the guy at the bus stop, he didn't agree with that because apparently admitting you were wrong to your kid, that's just tantamount to castration. Oh, stupid. Okay, you know what? one of the favorite scriptures as a young girl that it even kept going into my adulthood was, parents, fathers, do not be irritating your children. Don't be irritating your children, but bring them up in the discipline and mental regulating of God. And I thought, okay, so irritation, let's see, irritation. You know what the actual meaning of that word is? Don't say one thing and do something else. Period. Because when we get irritated, we're provoked and we're frustrated. And don't piss your kids off. Don't frustrate them. Do what you say. And it's save what you do, but always make sure that you are keeping yourself consistent and don't ask them to do something that you're not willing to do first. And to me, that's what friendship is. When we're talking really about what a relationship, any kind of relationship is, it's about making sure that you do enough for them that you would want someone else, anyone, a friend, a relative, a coworker, to do for you. Think about that though. Do you even know what you want? Do you know what you believe you want someone else to do for you? Or do you just like to fight about everything? Because that's another thing. We fight all the time about nothing for no reason, just because we like to fight. I always believe that in this country, we just think our freedom of speech as an entitlement gives us a right to say whatever we want to whoever we want. So we get angry at everybody all the time just so we can say something. Is it really important to say? Then say in a nice and respectful. Again, the appreciation and the respect and the dignity, the consideration, CARD or ART, if you're talking about appreciation, respect, and trust. That's about the synergy of the dynamic of a relationship, two people coming together, creating something exponentially better and more powerful than what they are when they're apart. I do love the fact that my children have made me laugh harder than anybody or anything else on the planet. I can't tell you how many times something happened and I was dumbfounded. I just looking at them going, that was so cool. You know how cool it was that they said or they did that, and they would look up at me like, "Are you angry at me?" And I'm like, "Man, you are the shit. You rock my Casbah." They're like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah, you're a very cool person." Okay, so I'm gonna give some stories of my oldest one. Now, I've mentioned this to my viewers before. He's an ESFJ. If you want to know more about Myers-Briggs, you can go into the archives and see how to profile someone. But basically, he's a caretaker. He was born as his own mother almost. Okay, so let's just preface this by saying that. Okay. Now, the story that I really like to tell people, even if they're not really into it, is giving birth. Now, I had a midwife, I had a neurologist, I had a primary care physician, I had an obstetrician, and everyone was like, okay, so in case you have a seizure or you die during pregnancy or labor, we'll go ahead and we'll bring you back to life. Okay, good to know. So I heard this thing that, you know, if you have an orgasm, that's actually going to start your labor. Is it really? Okay, well, that's okay. I don't mind that. So, well, yeah, it actually did. It did for me. It did start my contractions. And so I was like, okay, these are weird. This is like really bad menstrual cramps. And so then I thought, well, but they're not happening very fast. So I was timing them and my husband was like, do we need to go to the hospital? I said, I don't think so. I don't think I'm actually in labor. Okay. But it's not happening. It's not happening. Maybe that's something to be worried about, the fact that it's not going faster. So they bring me back. Check me out. Yeah. Nope. You're not dilated enough to go home. Okay. So I went home and my husband's looking at me going, I said, I don't know. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. Leave me alone. He said, okay. Going to dinner. You want dinner? Yeah. The contractions, okay. Oh, they're going faster. They're going, okay, so we'll go to the hospital again. No, they're not fast enough. And you have to be effaced and dilated, and you have to drop into the birth canal. And I'm like, okay, it's been like 18 hours now. I can't even go to bed. I can't. Nope, you need to go home. Okay. So I slept. I literally slept while I was in labor. Got up the next day. 48 hours I was having contractions, no sleep of any kind. Okay, yeah, that put me in kind of a weird mood. I wasn't real happy about that. But then when I finally got to the hospital and said, okay, this is it, and they said, okay, yes, they're enough frequency. You're getting thinner. Your cervix is dilating and it's getting thinner, and he's dropped into the birth canal. Okay, so now what you need to do is bear down. You need to push. And I said, push. What do you mean? And they said, like you're having a bowel movement. You gotta. And I'm like, what do you mean? Okay, whatever. So, and they said, but you can't do it until the contraction begins. So, and then the contractions stopped. What am I supposed to do now? Can I? Is there something I can do to make contraction? Having an orgasm with my husband made it start. And they're like, okay, no, you can't do that. That's just dangerous for the baby. And I'm like, okay. So, and then I remembered something. I saw a picture on the wall of my midwife, a poster, and it actually said standing up. And I thought, there you go. If I stand up, I can get nature to go ahead and use the gravity thing. But I didn't say anything. I was just like, I got an idea. So I got out of bed. My husband was there. The doctor was there. They're like, where are you going? And the nurse goes, is she okay? And I said, no, this is okay. I'm not going insane. I just know that I need to stand up and this will happen. It's just an intuition. Okay. And then I said, no, then what you need to do is actually bend all the way down, like in a catcher position, like in baseball, you could completely squat all the way down. I'm like, okay, well then I'm gonna be pushing his head out onto the ground. He said, no, it's okay, don't worry, we'll explain to you what to do. So I got down and I was like, okay. And the contractions still had come, and I said, so at some point I'm gonna, and my body just completely took over. And I started pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. You're only supposed to push for like 30 seconds. I could not stop pushing. It was almost 60 seconds. And by the time it was over, I was like, whoa, I don't know. I went, and they're like, you can't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And my body did it again. And I went, okay, this is scary. This is really scary. And then I realized as the head started to come out, I had to walk back into the bed. I had an anxiety attack. And I went, oh my God, my life is over. This is it. I'm never going to be with my husband again. I'm going to be fat and ugly for the rest of my life. I'm never going to have money, and I'm going to be. And I thought, oh my God, I don't want my baby. What am I going to do? I'm a bad mother. I'm like, shh, I'm not supposed to have postpartum depression until after the baby's born. But I pushed. I only had to push two more times. That's really good. Four times and the baby's out. That's unheard of. They gave me my son, and I looked at him and I went, wow, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I've never felt. There's an actual place inside of my heart that I didn't know was there until I looked at him. And they said, you know what? You can go ahead and feed him now. And I fed him, and he looked into my eyes. And I went, wow, this is an amazing person. This is unlike any person I've ever met. No adult in my life, not even my friends, no one in my family has ever made me feel like this. And I thought, you know what? It's okay. I'm gonna spend my whole life loving this person in my arms. And as he grew up and he got older, he did things that just made me go, wow. Let me tell you a few of them now. One of them was when I was pregnant with his brother. He was about 2 years old, and I said, look, honey, I've got another baby in my tummy. And yeah, 2 year-olds don't talk a lot, but when they do, my son, I had him profiled. He's an ESFJ, he's an extrovert. He said, I want to go ahead and be with my baby. And I said, okay, well, when he comes out. And he said, no, I want to be with him now. And I said, well, you could talk to him. And when you talk to him, my tummy will move. It's like him responding to you. And he said, okay. So then he went and got a book, one of the books that I like to read to him. And I said, honey, what are you doing? And he said, I want to read to the baby. And I said, okay. I just like must have these stories memorized. You know what he did? He just opened the book and started making up stories based on what was on the page. And I thought, wow, see, now that's cool. And so one day my husband came home, and my stomach was actually moving. And he goes, look, see, my baby, and I said, yeah. My husband said, what's he doing? I said, he's reading to his brother. And he said, "Does he know he can't read?" And I said, "Don't tell him that, then he'll stop." I don't know if he knows or he doesn't know. That's something of a moot point, Lana. Okay. Well, when I gave birth to his brother, it was nothing like that. They would not let me do what I needed to do. My first one was 6 pounds, 14 ounces. That's pretty small. That's not even 7 pounds. My next one was 8 pounds, 11 ounces. That's almost, well, over 8.5 pounds. Okay, so ripped me to shreds. About half of that was his head. His head. And then his body. And I'm like, oh my God, his head is completely swollen. What's going on? They were very concerned about him. They put him in the bed next to me and they said, okay, so he's not responding. We think you pushed him out too fast. I'm like, oh man, if we have to go to the ER, I'm gonna feel so guilty. Well, they did tests and they were like, okay, so let's stimulate him, you know, visually, let's stimulate him, let's do some nothing worked. Nothing worked. He wasn't responding in any way until bam, the door just flies open. And my now think of this 2.5 year old son goes, "Where's my baby? Where's my baby?" And my husband's like, "Honey, you gotta stay out." And he pushed his father away and said, "No, I want my baby." That child in the not even a crib, it was like a coffin next to me, lifted up his head and dropped his head back down. And the doctor said, "Oh, did you see that?" And I said, S "I think he moved or something." And they said, "Hey, Chico, do that again." Said, and he's like, "My baby, where's it?" And he lifted up his head again and looked around for his brother. And I went, "Whoa, he doesn't respond to me or my husband or the doctors with the devices or the nurses with the stimulation." That child responded to his brother. And I went, "Wow, that was a defining moment in my life. I don't care if he was in my tummy, in my stomach, he had a connection with his brother because I responded to my son reading to my stomach." I'm sure, yes, he did actually get the voice because I found out that my second son was a sensory perceiver. I figured that out after about 6 months. Yeah, when we hear each other and we touch each other and we see each other and we smell each other, yeah, that's very, very stimulating. It forms who we are. Even before we are born, we are very aware of everything that we are being stimulated by in the mother's womb. Okay, now, one of the things that I really like too is when he was six, my oldest son basically said to my mother, who would come pick him up, but not my son or my daughter, because I had a daughter by the time my oldest was six. She would say, "Where's my grandbaby? Where's my boy?" And he would go be with her, and then one day he said to me, "Mom, why isn't Nana taking Nick or Anya?" And I said, I don't know." And I said, "You can go ask her." And so he said, "Why aren't you taking my brother and sister?" And she said, "Oh, I will, honey. I just want special time with you." And he said, "Yeah, no, I'm really not into that idea." And she said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "No, you need to take all of us." And I went. And she looked at me and I said, "I don't know where that came from. I didn't tell him to do that. I think it's kind of cool that you take them one at a time. I'm an introvert. You just never take the other two. Just tell him you're going to take the other two and then take the other two." And he looked at her and he goes, "No, we're a package deal. You take all of us or you don't get me." And I went, "Okay." And she goes, "Well, then I'm not taking any of you." And he goes, "That's fine." And he turned around and went back in the house. Wow. And I told my husband what he did and what he said. And my husband was like, "Damn, our kid is ferocious." I said, "I know. But he's very strong-willed. He's always been strong-willed." But I think the one other thing that I have to say before I move on to my second child is when I was, let's see, I think he was 12. So that means I have been in business for about 3 years. He was telling his friends, "Hey, my mom's a shrink. My mom's a shrink." I said, "Honey, I'm not a shrink. I am a relationship coach. You cannot tell people I'm a shrink. I am not a mental health professional in this country." Like it did. And he goes, "Mom, you're the worst kind of shrink." You're a shrink in denial. And I went, okay, Cena, that was cool. That was an awesome joke. And I don't even know if he said it as a joke. I don't know if he was joking when he said it, but I was like, you know what? That was a really funny thing to say. He had the wits about him to come up with something like that. But the coolness about SJ, I think he actually meant it. I think he did mean it. He wasn't being a smart ass. So why the he Wow, yeah, there are a lot of things that my son believes he will absolutely tell you to your face. And that's cool. I like that. I like his honesty. But I've always said I have to be honest with my kids. Okay, one other thing. One day I was trying to pull a fast one. I think I was actually trying to keep a secret to my kid, and he turned around and he said, "Mom, you are a terrible liar." And I said, "Thank you. Thank you, because I hate lying. Yes, I'm horrible at it because I hate doing it. I don't know how to not only create the lie, but then perpetuate the lie and maintain the lie, because it takes so much mental and emotional energy. I don't have that." He's like, "It's okay, Mom. You don't have to. You're really bad." I said, "Okay, good. Now let's move on to my second son." I actually call him Moco, because that means booger in Spanish, because he was very soft and squishy when he was born. Yes, very, very ball of fat. Once his head kind of got back with his body, yeah, he breastfed a lot. He breastfed a lot. So he got very fat. But with his brother, he got very busy doing a lot of physical things. So he was always sticky. Right, so I call him soft and squishy and sticky. He was always dirty, and I really did like giving nicknames to my kids. But I think my second one I gave more nicknames to, just because I had a different kind of connection with him. He's an ISTP, so he's an introverted thinker, just like me. We had a kind of different connection. He would look at me, and I would look at him, and we could have a full conversation without even saying anything. And I love the fact that there's so many things about him that are like my husband, but he's so much like me in the ways that matter to me that we could have a special dynamic between us. One of the things that I love telling people that he did was when my daughter was born, the third baby was born, he and his brother, my oldest, fought over who got to do everything, change her diaper, put her clothes on, give her a bath, feed her. And there was actually a time when they were fighting. "She's my baby. No, she's my baby. No, she's my baby. She's a." I walked in the room. I said, "What are you guys doing? Now think about this. The baby couldn't have been more than 6 months. So that means my oldest was like five, and my middle child was about three. They were fighting over who got to be with her." And I said, "Do I ever get to be a part of this process, this maternal, we'll say, child rearing process that you two are debating over who is entitled to?" And they said, "Mom, you're really bad at this. If we need you, we'll go ahead and let you know. You can go back to what you were doing." I went, "Okay, that was harsh." But they knew from personal experience. Yeah, no, as a Generation X, I was not mother material. And I was horrible. I did need my husband to teach me how to do stuff. And so when they basically said, "Mom, we know that you love us, but you're terrible at this, and we don't want you to damage the baby. We want to take care of this one ourselves," I thought, okay, that's really cool. One of my favorite stories, really, as a personal defining moment in my life, though, about my second child was, as an ISTP, I knew at a very young age that I was going to have to teach him to do things that were dangerous and very unconventional, because as a sensory perceiver, he just wanted to do everything all the time. So the only choice I had was be there with him while he did it, right? Teaching him, or let him go out into the world and just hope for the best. Well, I'm really not like that, because I'm INTP. Now, what I said to him was, when he said, "Mommy, can I play with the matches?" I'd say, "Okay, is your room clean?" He'd say, "Well, clean enough." Well, we'd finish cleaning up the room, and he actually learned how to wield fire at a very young age. Well, my mother-in-law was living with us for some time because she had family issues. Her kids basically said they didn't want her. And so she said, okay, well, then I'll go ahead and I'll live with my oldest, which was my husband. And I said, well, I don't want her here. And my husband said, that's okay. You don't have to want her here. She's going to be here anyway. I said, okay. What the hell am I supposed to do with her? Okay. She's mean. She's very mean and she's crazy and she's never mind. Okay. So bring it on. We'll go ahead and have her living with us. Well, she was horrible. She was mean to me and my kids. And one day she just, I don't know, maybe she just had something wrong inside. Maybe she had something bad to eat, but she was fighting with me over everything for nothing and judging everything that I did. Look, I know that my opinion is just my opinion. My husband's opinion matters. My kids' opinions matter. My friends' opinions matter. Something about her being judgmental and critical of me, it hurt me in a different place because I felt like my husband almost cared more about her than about me. And that's when something inside of me changed. And I looked at my son and he could see the pain in my eyes. And I was like, oh man, maybe he's going to give me a hug. That would be really nice if he just came up to me without a word and just gave me a hug. But he went somewhere else. And I went, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna let him see that I'm in pain right now. So I went into the other room and I thought, okay, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna get myself recentered. I heard a scream from the kitchen. And I knew immediately it was her because obviously my daughter wasn't in this room like that. And I ran into the kitchen. I said, what happened? What's going on? And he had a match in his hand that was half burned. It was, and he smiled and he goes, here, mom. And I said, what? And she kept screaming and I was ignoring her. I could completely block her out because all I was doing was talking to my baby. And he goes, I stopped her for you. And I went, wow. He actually went and got the match, lit it, blew it out, and then stuck it on her leg. And I said, baby, why did you do that? And he said, because she was hurting you. And I needed her to stop. And I went, wow. Okay. That was really cool. Yeah, children care about their parents very much, and they stand up for what's right. My oldest son did it by directly having a verbal conversation because he's an ESFJ. My second son, he took action and he made it stop. And I thought, okay, that's really cool. He needs to learn that that's assault and that's actually a felony. So we're not going to do that again. But a lot of people said, why didn't you beat the feces out of him? I said, because I don't think that what he did was that bad. I think we can go ahead and explain to him why he shouldn't do it again. But yeah, that's just the way ISTPs are. Now, one of the other things that I always love to say is sensory perceivers just love to upset you. In fact, they will rebel just for the fun of upsetting you, even if it's not something they want to do. So they will go to one extreme or another, even if they're not personally vested in it, because they don't want to be controlled. That was the other thing, too. So I thought, what am I going to say to him to get him to be humble and love God and obedient and Christian in the heart? And I'm like, man, every time I try to tell him that he should do something because this is what will make God happy, let's go ahead and make God happy. He was like, no, you can't tell me what to do. Don't you tell me what to do. And I thought, okay, we gotta change our approach here. He's not into the rules. He's not. I got it. I said, you know what? You see what's going on in this situation when it was about making a decision? And I wanted him to make a good decision. I said, Satan is watching you right now. And God is watching you right now. Satan is telling God that he knows what you're going to do. And he's just waiting for you to do the wrong thing. And when you do exactly what Satan wants, Satan is going to be laughing at God and laughing at you. Those Satan really wants me to do bad things, doesn't he? I said, yeah, he does. I said, well, then I'm going to go do something good just to piss him off. And I said, well, that's wonderful, sweetheart. You go ahead and have a great time and let me know how it turns out. He literally would just do the opposite of what I told him the devil wanted him to do. And in the meantime, he ended up going, wow, and you know what, by the way, that good thing that I just did, that was kind of cool. You know, not that I care or anything. And I'm not, you know, I'm not doing it because I, you know, and I'm like, okay, honey, just it's okay. But then he ended up getting baptized and saying, yeah, you know what, actually, I do make my own choices and I do make my own decisions, but firsthand experience is what got him to where he is now. He's a manager at a restaurant. He's only 25 and he's a manager. But one of the other things that we had was the inside joke of TWSS. That's what she said. So if someone in the room was saying or doing something and it could be, you know, misconstrued into something sexual and something inappropriate, he would be on the other side of the room doing something. I'd be over here in the conversation. He'd literally walk through the room and go, TWS. I'd be like, man, why are you doing this to me? And he'd walk away. And so he knew that I knew that he knew that I was thinking about what he just said, and no one else in the room knew because it was our dirty little secret. Yeah, I liked that a lot about my boy. And my baby girl, my daughter, she is just the absolute gem of my eye. I love everything about who she is because as a woman, she's an ENFJ. She has an abundance of generosity, literally a wealth of giving. She's insightful when it comes to people, and she is patient and kind and wow, just sweet. She's a genuinely sweet woman, and she's always been that way. Yeah, it was tough with her brothers because they were kind of ferocious. And so I'm only going to tell a few stories about her because I might get a little bit more emotional. I think I've been holding myself together pretty well for the show. Okay. So one of the things that I think caught me off guard first about her was she had an aesthetic ability. She literally could see things that were beautiful, and she could make them more beautiful. One of them was me. We had to do pictures. We had family pictures we had to take, but I also, for my work, I was often photographed, and I didn't know what to wear, my hair, my jewelry, my makeup. And now that I'm not with her, I have to do it myself again. That's why I'm not as good. But I would actually go to her when she was 4 or 5 years old, and I would say, what do you think of this? And what do you think of this? And she would get my hair and she'd put the jewelry on and she'd say, no, do this shirt. And with these earrings, and I'd be like, oh, that's gorgeous. How did you know that? And she said, well, because of this. And when you look like this. And I went, okay, see, you're pretty cool. I'm going to need to have you pretty much constantly at my disposal. And she said, yeah, definitely, I can do that for you. Well, you know what? She was independent, but she knew that her brothers were going to be the ones basically taking over a lot of the time when I wasn't around. Well, she had inside jokes with her brothers as well, and I did not know that since I was very honest with my kids, again, about the fact that mommy takes care of herself, then daddy, then them. There are times when they needed to know that we were having sex. And I did say to them, you know what? Mommy needs to take care of daddy, and we're both going to be in a much better mood when we're done here. And they had apparently some kind of code. They're talking. Okay. When my husband and I were having sex, we were talking, according to my children. Okay. So, well, one day we were at a restaurant. And there were many, many people from my congregation there, including elders and their wives. And they said to my daughter, wow, Anya, you're turning out to be a very beautiful young woman, very respectful and mature, and you're very smart. And she said, she was eating her food, she said, thank you. My brothers have raised me very well. She kept eating. And the people were just like, well, did your mom and dad help them? Trying to contain their laughter. And they said, did your mom and dad help your brothers with that? And she put her fork down. In all seriousness, she said, yes. Technically, they were there most of the time, But if they didn't spend so much time in their bedroom talking, then my brothers wouldn't have to do their job for them. And she picked up and kept eating. The whole table busted out laughing. And of course, my husband wanted to die. But I thought it was great. I thought it was great because, first of all, yeah, we did spend a lot of time together as a couple. The only reason she said that was because apparently before we went to lunch, and my husband and I did before we went to lunch, she needed to talk to me. And I said to her, honey, what's going on? After we got home from the restaurant, I said, do you really have a hard time with the fact that this is going on? And she said, yeah, I do. And I want to talk to you, but my brothers. And I said, okay, so then we need to reevaluate the situation. Fortunately, she was very young at the time, so we could say, okay, now that we know, my husband and I know what's going on for you, we can change and give you what you need, because you deserve to have, from the two of us, really good quality parenting, right? That is specific to you, not leftovers from your brothers. Okay, yeah, so that was good. That was important for her. And then it got to the point where we had another really good story. My kids got head lice. Now, my husband, Mexican, very Mexican man that he is, there's a solution to head lice. You just get rid of all the hair. There you go. Problem solved. I didn't want my boys to be bald, but too bad that's going to happen. Well, she wanted to be bald. She wanted to be like her brothers, but not really. It's just a, and she said, I want to be bald. I want to be beautiful. And I went, you know what? But there's something about the fact that her aesthetic, affinity for aesthetics, there was part of me that kind of wanted her bald. Well, you know what? She went and got the construction paper scissors, locked herself in the bathroom, started chopping her own hair. And I said, what are you doing? Your school picture is tomorrow. I was almost, I was going to try and convince your dad that maybe we could do something. But when your school pictures, and they're like nine different lengths of hair around your head, what are you doing? And she said, now I'm beautiful. And I said, okay, so what are we going to do about this now? I said, you know what? Just because you did this, you little brat, I'm going to send you to school with that hairdo, and you're going to take your school picture with that hairdo. And in 20 years, I'm going to have some kind of party for you, and I'm going to make it a big poster, and all your friends, your adult friends, are going to laugh at you. And I was so just, because I was incredulous that she would do that. She went to school the next day and took the most beautiful school picture. Seriously, all the different lengths of hair, she was glowing. She was absolutely beaming with her grin, and I thought, wow, you know what? I'm gonna let her keep that hairdo, first of all, because she has a great fashion sense, but most importantly, she's happy. And when children are happy, yeah, they really are beautiful. Now, when I actually had times when I needed to get that peace, I have a seizure disorder, and there were times when I was able to stop my seizures. I have different breathing exercises I can do. I have different mental exercises I can do. But I went to a certain kind of healer one time. She did pressure points, and she taught my daughter that in certain places, like here and in my hand here, that if I had pressure and that if I breathed a certain way, that I could get completely recentered and I could stop the seizure from happening. Well, you know what? There were times when I couldn't do that. She would come up to me and she would say, I can feel you. I need to help you. Let's do the Olga trick. And she would get my hand and she would put her, and then she would start breathing with me. And there were times when I had to breathe in and out four or five times. And I was just, by the time we were done, yeah, everything was better. Everything had completely calmed down and my seizures went away. And I thought, okay, this is amazing. The fact that her energy was so whole and positive and loving and generous that she could do that for me. And yeah, when I would say to my kids, I want to be like you when I grow up, they would always say, you're never going to grow up. And you know what? That's okay. We love you and we forgive you because you say you're sorry when you've done something wrong. It's okay to say you're sorry to your kids, and it's okay to appreciate them for who they are. And yeah, they do deserve dignity and consideration and respect. Do you believe that? What do you think kids have? What do you think kids are? What do you think they mean in your life? And how do you treat them? Do you think you can be friends with your kids? Do you think they want to be your friend? My husband comes from a culture where, you know what? Parents can do whatever they want, and there's absolutely no accountability, and they can say and be anything to their kids that they think that they should. Even if they know they shouldn't, they still do. Like my mother-in-law, the way she was, she knew that what she did to her son, my husband, the love of my life, was wrong. But you know what? As a parent, she had the right. Well, I disagree with that. I think you have a certain accountability for your actions, even as a parent. Children are not a right, they're a privilege. And a privilege is it comes with a responsibility. When you have a responsibility, you have an accountability. There is no neutral energy. I say this all the time. We are either positive or negative energy. And everything we do, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. But that's especially in relationships. The synergy that we create with people, it's long term, but it's right here, right now. Do you know that when you have to be honest with yourself, there you go, take an inventory. You have to deal with the consequences of your decisions, but then you have to choose how you are going to move forward. And you can preach at your kids all day and you can demand things from them all day. Are you a hypocrite? Are you doing the things that you tell your children to do? What do you talk to them about? And when you talk to them, do you have genuine love in your heart for them as people, not just as your possession, as your children? Because you know what? As they grow up, as they go through life, they're going to continue to carry on and carry through with what you started in the very young years of their life. We are a society, and there's an expression, it takes a village to raise a child. We don't have a culture anymore because, again, people are using animals as their children. You know that what you think will manifest, well, next time you're around a child, take the time to look at them and smile and make small talk with them. They appreciate when you treat them like people. Yeah, children are people too. And if you know that what you do is going to change a child's life, it's going to make the world a better place. The power of synergy, what we create when we come together, can be powerful in a positive way. That includes the children, because they are people too. Thank you for the power of synergy. Thank you for watching today on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.